My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, Ahsoka Part 6 post-show. We're going to talk heavy spoilers for Part 6, Far, Far Away, a very classic nod to the blue scribe in front of every great saga film that we've gotten. Also, was another was actually a title of a podcast I loved back in 2015 that no longer exists, but... Yeah, we got a heavy hitting show. Well, we got, like I said, spoilers abound here. We got Thrawn. We got Peridia. We got Ezra. What else do we got? We got Shin back. We got Baylan. A lot of like interesting little Baylan tidbits there. And everyone in the chat, ask your questions, make your comments. Tell us what you thought of Part 6. We all know that Part 5 was a historic episode in Star Wars history. But what is Part 6 to us? I mean, it's the introduction of live-action Thrawn, of course. Jorge says, too short on YouTube. Maka says, that's how you level up from the previous episode. Okay, so he thought it was fantastic. I really liked it. I got a lot of vibes from... I got some vibes like Lord of the Rings, a lot of Willow vibes, coming across a little creature, reminded me of Yoda, Luke and Yoda, you know, but instead you have a whole tribe of the little creature, the rock creatures there. Facebook user says, excellent episode. Facebook user said, Hu Yang, he said the thing, yeah. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Yeah, he definitely did it. I never thought we'd hear those words in Star Wars, but yeah. Maka says, I now highly await Sabine and Ezra versus Baylan and Shin. Yeah, I guess that's going to be next episode. And before we go any further here, I definitely want to give a shout out to all of our awesome patrons. Maka's already here in the chat. Purple Tier, Darth Ace One, Liam McCallion, Texas Vader 76, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Deb McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel. On the red tier, we have Fenrir 526, Amaya Morris. On the black tier, we have Maka, the aforementioned, Tal Tala, Nathan Shank, Evan O'Pegger. Thank you so much. This is the post show. We're going to talk all about this episode. I'm thinking it's another monumental episode. We get Thrawn live action, like I said previously. I didn't think we would get Ezra, and we got him. We got Ezra in a different look, beard, longer hair, different clothing. My buddy Carl thought we were going to get Thrawn that way, in different clothes, longer hair. But he seemed like he came back, and he kept up his dry cleaning there with his Imperial white uniform. So, yeah, So what do you think? You started talking about it previously. So, yeah, let us have it, Ray. What were your thoughts?
Okay, so I did mention before, like, you know, the witches. That's what I wanted for the witches. You know, I got, you know, from, you know, Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels. That's what I expected. Like you were mentioning, Lord of the Ring vibes. You know, I kind of got a Helm's Deep kind of. Where they're standing up, looking down from the castle kind of thing.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? And then when you see Sabine riding out, you know, you kind of got a vibe as well from Lord of the Rings. But then also you got like, you know, those, I don't say what they're creatures or, but they kind of had samurai look to them, the way they're dressed.
The bandits. Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much to take in. I mean, even down to the troopers, the way they looked, they were wrapped in red. They had gold. It was just, there was so many things happening at once. It was like trying to focus on the background, but then focus what's going on. It was just an excellent episode. I like what, you know, Thrawn basically said towards the end where, he wants to know about Ahsoka. He wants to know about her, you know, her master, all that stuff. That's like, that's Thrawn right there. You know what I mean?
Man, for a split second there, I thought we're going to do another like Force flashback and yeah, Hu Aang was going to tell the story. I thought we were going to go way back in time. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, another me too.
Huge, like expensive episode, but yeah, I mean, they kind of went in the way of what I think to be the future of Star Wars is going to be, going to distant worlds, different worlds, meeting up with different creatures. Hey, what's up, Josh?
Why, hello.
Nice of you to join us. It felt like something akin to what like the Rian Johnson trilogy would kind of look like, different creatures, different worlds, exploring new things. So, Josh, what did you make of Part 6? Far
From? Let's go! I was screaming at the screen. So happy. This is all new stuff. I'm so happy with it. I was looking at all these like troopers going nuts. New music, new entire galaxy, new planet. Like, all this new lore dump. It's got me wondering, really, if we're going to do a soft reboot of something. Because this is a whole new galaxy. We get, and there's already, like, raiders, and there's new creatures. And there's so much like to learn about this new place in Star Wars. And I'm like, oh, amazing. I'm so happy that we're in a place that's completely different.
Yeah, I really love the design of the Howlers. They looked a lot like the Wargs from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like a mixture of like a bat, rat, dog. So yeah. Mouth. Yeah. Yeah. An awesome new mount for Star Wars. So Jorge asks, are they all stormtroopers from the Empire? I mean, you figure that they're all the suits left over and just repurpose with like the red for the Night Sisters and the gold for maybe like a new type of I don't know what did the gold harken back to, if anything. The guy with the actual face on his helmet felt like a very Roman type of.
I was like, that's awesome aspect. Loved yeah. it.
Yeah,
he kind of reminded me of from the Flash Gordon, the one guy that was under Ming.
Huh, interesting.
The way his face looked.
The mothers, though, they felt very, very kind of Dune-esque.
Yes, with the voice. They felt like a Bene Gesserit. I was like, that's really cool to add some more Dune reference in there.
yeah. I don't mind the pick and pull from the Dune, from the Frank Herbert stuff, because that's Star Wars tradition, and it's cool. And to see hyperspace in a different light when you travel between galaxies, hyperspace looks different. Apparently you see like different colors and stuff. I thought that was an interesting kind of new angle on it. Looks like we have Craig Five jumping in. Craig, what did you think of the episode, man?
I loved it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I loved it.
You kind of scared me there.
No, I loved it. It was, to me, the feeling that I got in a weird way is like the feeling that you got watching A New Hope for the first time, where you're like exploring Tatooine with R2 and C-3PO, you know, and you're in this whole world and you just feel like you're in this whole new galaxy. It really took you someplace different. Mm-hmm. I love those crab creatures. I love the wolf that looked like a rat. I loved it.
Yeah, it felt we were going in a brand new, exciting
this
direction.
Is easily my favorite episode of the series so far.
That's saying a lot, because last week was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
But I will say, it's up there with it. Surprisingly, considering, you know, we had Anakin last week, this is incredible, too. I agree with you. It was incredible.
Nice. So Colin Weaver has joined us.
Hey, where were you? We needed you earlier.
Yeah, we had a lot of your fans on the pre-show. They're
you didn't cool. wait. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Both of them were on at the same time?
Come on, crazy, man. All two of them. Wow.
So what do you think, Colin?
So the entire time that I was watching it, I just, because I've been friends with Josh so long, I was like, this is going to be the episode that Josh probably is going to be one of his top favorites, just because it's that weird part of Star Wars. It did dive deeper into the lore of Star Wars, and we got more backstory about Baylan and Shin. And I really liked that, because as much as I love Anakin, don't get me wrong, that was one of the greatest things of all time. I love.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
But what's great about Star Wars is that it is just the new things that are introduced and the lore that is just added on to what we already know. So the fact that we got so much new content, different aliens, which at first I thought the turtle creatures were the same species as Turgle, and I freaked out for a second, and I was like, no, it's not Turgle.
The baby kind of looked frog-like.
Yeah, yeah. So
to me, they look like crabs. Like
frogs. Yeah, they look like Scuba Hermit Steve.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so I really enjoyed it just because it was a new side of Star Wars that we haven't really seen before, but also familiar at the same time, if that makes sense.
And you know what? This episode had a lot of tension, didn't it? Didn't you feel like this intensity while you were watching it that you maybe didn't feel a couple episodes ago? I mean, this one, actually, the couple episodes ago was really good. The last one with Anakin was incredible, but it didn't feel tense like this. There was just this tension that I felt like I watched it. Like I was just, the whole time I was on the edge of my seat, like, this is amazing.
So I can probably tell you why, and it's because of the anticipation of, like, are we actually going to see Ezra in this episode? Is this it? Is this going to happen? Now, I know a lot of people thought, some people were saying as a joke that, oh, like, if this next episode, we are just going to do, like, the trial of Hera on Coruscant, and we're just going to spend the whole episode there.
Please, no. Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
This is the episode where I was like, we are back on pace. Yes. I didn't feel like there was anything where I was sitting there like I didn't get answers to something that I wanted. This is where I was like I was worried a little bit. I was like, these crab people, okay, like a little bit of things. And then I was like, wait, no, this is going to lead into Ezra. And then they actually show Ezra. It wasn't just an immediate cut. They actually get to talk. They get to reunite. I was like, great job. This episode fulfills having their time and spending it well.
Don't tell me that you didn't like the crab people.
I was worried that they would spend too much time with it, but they didn't.
Okay. Okay.
Because whereas I would say last week's episode, I feel like they spent too much time in flashbacks. This is an episode where I said I didn't feel like they wasted any time, and I was very happy with it.
Fair enough.
I thought it was an incredible episode. Although I will say the one thing that was a little bit weird to me was Thrawn's eyes. I have to get used to them because it's weird seeing them. Like, I don't know. It's just a little odd, but the way he delivered and talked was incredible. He was great.
I'm telling you right now, if we got any other actor that went and did Thrawn, it would just feel weird. The entire scene, like any scene with Thrawn, if it wasn't the same actor as Rebels.
Sorry, Ashley. Been,
what?
I said, sorry, Ashley.
Yeah. I also said that when her first episode came out, I was like, it's weird not hearing Ashley Eckstein's voice. So it's like, this is the perfect example of why it's good to bring the voice actors into live action, because he crushed it. He did a great job. I was not, you know, kind of thrown out of it being like, oh, it's Thrawn. This is weird. It was like, oh my gosh, it's Thrawn. He sounded like Thrawn. He acted like Thrawn. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Had no problem with it whatsoever. And that's what I think that they need to keep doing, you know, of going forward when they bring stuff from animation to live action. I know it doesn't work every time, but at the same time, you know, this is perfect. I had no problem with it. I was not pulled out of, you know, of the illusion of the show. It was like, boom, that is Thrawn. I am watching what I was watching in Star Wars Rebels. That is Thrawn right there. I had no problem with it whatsoever.
Yeah, I thought it was a great episode. And, you know, it was nice to see the Night Sisters too.
Yes.
Mace was like, you know, that kind of haunting, chilling voice that I was a little bit disappointed that Morgan didn't have. But yeah. I love that these three witches did.
I don't think Morgan is your traditional Night Sister, though.
She's a descendant from what yeah. we know.
So
yeah. I mean, this is all new stuff, which I'm so happy about. It's like,
yeah,
how are they there? How are they still here? Like, what is the ancient temples and all this stuff? And I'm like, yes, this is great.
I'm so happy because it is like the weird, you know, not normal side of Star Wars. It's like we are out exploring. We are learning new stuff. We are seeing new creatures, new species. It was fantastic. And to be honest,
Space this episode... Graveyards.
What?
Space whale graveyards.
Yeah.
Those are the rings of the planet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How wild was that?
Yeah. But to me, this is kind of this episode alone, because it was such like a newer episode and stuff that we're not... really used to seeing, is this is kind of an example of what we're going to see in the show Skeleton Crew, because of that whole show is just going to be the unknown. We have no idea what's going to be happening. We are going to be seeing new creatures left and right, new spaceships, probably new planets more than ever than any Star Wars show that doesn't seem familiar, because we're dealing with characters, you know, again, that we've never seen before in that show, most likely. Except Vane from Mandalorian.
About that, the Skeleton Key one, is that the skeleton villain key. Is going to be that corny space pirate from Mandalorian. I thought he
Vane,
was so corny.
Yep.
I was like, how are we going to take him seriously? It's like,
bring it,
it's
Hondo!
It's like the Fratellis chasing the Goonies, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to take him seriously.
That's kind of the vibe of what that show is going to be, is that it is going to have that Goonies, E.T., Amblin Studio vibe.
Yeah.
This is new. Like Skeleton Crew is new. But this opens so many doors for what new Star Wars could be, because this is a completely different galaxy. That is something super valuable about this episode. And I was worried that it would just be they go to a different galaxy and it's just Thrawn on a ship. And that's what I was worried about. I was like, oh, okay, they're just going to pick him up and then dip back. But because we got so much of lore and world expanding things that I'm like, I would love to spend more time in here. And this is, I think, that they will do something to where it's like, we have this galaxy and we have this galaxy. We have stories taking place over here and over there. I think they'll do that, because there's just so much stuff that is so new and interesting that I doubt that they would leave it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Zach asked on YouTube here, was Mother Talzin one of the three witches before the Clone Wars? They dressed like her, in my opinion. I didn't watch the show with captions on. They never mentioned Mother Talzin, right?
I don't think it was Mother Talzin. I don't remember what happened to her. Did she die or something? I can't even remember.
So there was a comic that came out, which is called The Son of Dathomir, and it was supposed to be a Clone Wars arc, and in that story, which I really wish it actually made animation, you get the Emperor, Count Dooku, General Grievous, and Darth Maul, and Mother Talzin all fighting each other, like, that's in bizarre. One scene. And what?
I said, that's bizarre.
Yeah, and basically... Mother Talzin dies in that. Now, a lot of people really haven't read that story from what I heard. So a lot of people's like last kind of knowledge of her existence was in season 6. It was the episode with Mace Windu and Jar Jar Binks. And they were like, you know, kind of going on this weird adventure. And then she kind of fades away. But that comic book series was basically like the ending of her, but also kind of to tell you where Darth Maul was leading up to the events of the Siege of Mandalore and all that. So, Son of Dathomir, I would check it out.
What were you going to say earlier, Ray?
No, I was just going to say, when you were talking about Ezra earlier, even down to when they're talking about Thrawn's eyes, even Ezra's eyes, they got the blue, just
eyes,
like they did from the series.
Yeah.
And then he even had the scar off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the beard was,
yeah.
But I thought it was great casting.
Definitely.
Yeah, and Jorge asked in YouTube chat, is Ezra Aladdin? No, that was the big rumor that actor that played Aladdin in the Disney Aladdin film was going to be Ezra, but he didn't get the role. It was this actor. His name is, I believe it's Iman Esfandi. So yeah, he felt like Ezra. I mean, that's
space Aladdin.
Yeah, essentially. And it's kind of weird though, because yes, that Aladdin is a Disney property and Disney owns Star Wars. It's like you would think that actor would have had the better opportunity, but I mean, Filoni, I think, cast this guy personally, and he did a great job on tonight's episode.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I felt like if we didn't get the guy from Aladdin, I would just see Aladdin. So I'm kind of glad that we didn't get him. And I know, like, he was very relieved when they kind of did announce, like, of when the leak came out. He was like, finally, I don't have to, you know, it's not me, guys, because people kept tagging him in posts and all that stuff. So,
yeah, that's wild. So, okay, we got Thrawn, we got new hyperspace, we got Ezra, we got more, I think, of Baylan Skull's kind of motivations in a
so
way.
So good.
He really talked. Ray Stevenson again, he's knocked incredible. It out of the park with Baylan Skull.
Killing episodes.
And really, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Same thing with Shin. Yeah, we got to know a little bit more about his motivations. And I don't think that he is pursuing the world between worlds, kind of like we all thought, with this great power. He made reference to the fairy tales, the stories he was told as a child in the Jedi Order. And it's something that we don't even know about that he's pursuing. And they're going to introduce something even newer and grander to Star Wars. So that's exciting in and of itself. But what is he looking for? Does anyone have any theories on that? I mean, what could it be?
He says the beginning. So I'm wondering, so he can stop everyone from the constant cycle of fighting and losing and empires rising and falling. So what that is, no idea. I think he's going to try and find out where the source of the Force comes from, where it started, and where people started to be able to use it. That's what I would assume.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I mean, he obviously feels like there's some kind of power there.
I think what they're going to say is that this is where the dark side originated. This planet.
So that would be very interesting, but also sick, because that will possibly tie in the James Mangold movie that he's making, which is kind of going to be the Dawn of the Jedi. So that would be like, you know, like, hey, here's a hint of what's happening. We won't get there until my movie, but, you know, here's kind of like a hint. And then that will kind of keep us on our toes until his film would come out. Which would be
the only thing that it is a little bit confusing and what they're going to do is story-wise, like, you know, Thrawn comes back and we have the whole stupid new First Order thing going on. I'm sorry if anybody likes it, but you know
right.
What I mean.
Tell us how you really feel, Craig.
don't bring it up. Don't say those three words. I hate them. You know I hate that movie. Don't say it. This is a good night. We're focused on positivity.
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. But yeah, no. It was really cool to see new creatures. It was fantastic to have Thrawn back. How did we feel about the reunion? Like, did we think that it could have been better, or do you think, you know, like, hey, that fits? Like, I could feel like that was, you know, kind of a Rebels episode, which is basically what this was, because Ahsoka was in it for 5 seconds. But
hello, wow, yeah. this mouth is really cool.
Tell me a
here,
story.
I'll tell you a story. A long time ago in a galaxy far, that far away. That was pretty sick. I will say I really enjoyed David Tennant saying that. And I think we actually heard that line in one of the trailers. And I was waiting for that to pop up in the show. So I'm really glad that we got it. But
I think that reunion was good.
I
like it because they meet again, they talk, they both have questions for each other, but it leaves it on, hey, we're going to go home, right? And I'm like, that's really cool in the way that they leave it, because it's going to be a whole big exposition dump later. And I don't know if they're going to follow up on it or not, but I'm very curious to see where it goes.
Yeah, they almost kind of leave it like Ezra thinks Sabine arrived on her own ship, and they're going to take off together and like happily ever after.
About
yeah, Thrawn's around, Night Sister's around,
so
which is magic.
I feel like the next episode will just open with like the camera pans and Ezra, and he's like, "What? Like, why on earth would you do this? Like, come on!" So it's going to be very interesting going forward, and I think that the whole series finale will definitely just kind of leave on Thrawn's back. Thrawn is back in the galaxy. That's got to be it. I would love to see, you know, maybe a plot twist of where the New Republic and then Thrawn have to team up and fight someone else. And I can't pronounce the species for the life of me. I know Josh has said it a bunch of times. It's from Legends, the Zong.
Yuuzhan Vong.
Yes, yes. So that would be a very cool tie-in into Legends, and that would also be a great way to bring something from the unknown regions and like from different galaxy.
I want to know where that the season 3 Mando episode fits in of just them talking about Thrawn. So I'm wondering, because we know, I'm pretty sure that this series takes place in between like the ending towards almost into season 3.
Yeah, so they said that with the events of Ahsoka are happening during the events of The Mandalorian, as far as I remember. So I'm waiting for some type of Mandalorian season 3 reference in some way. Because, which again, how many of you are surprised that we haven't seen Din Djarin and Grogu at this point? Because
we were gonna see him in this season.
I don't know.
I think technically they were filming simultaneously, so they were on their own sets and projects. But Filoni, I think, was trying to help out with Mando season 3, but it feels like he really concentrated on Ahsoka and was just kind of like checking in, like,
what happened to the day?
You guys are good. Okay, great.
It definitely shows, though. It definitely shows. I'm just saying.
I'm not going back and watch season 3 of Mandalorian at all. Like,
I enjoyed season 3. I think there were a lot of great elements, but Ahsoka is very plot driven, and that's the difference between the shows. Because for the Mandalorian, you have that show is kind of responsible for building up this huge event, right? And season 3 was kind of hinting at Ahsoka a lot of what was to come in Ahsoka. You've got that episode. You've got that first episode of where they're going through hyperspace and Grogu sees a Purrgil. And I was like, boom, you know, that is a hint right there.
Yeah.
Of what's to come. And then, you know, you've got Moff Gideon mentioning Thrawn. So there's a lot of speculation of what's to come in the future. And honestly, it's going to be the end of the show, the coming out of hyperspace, the New Republic will end up getting defeated, and then Thrawn is out there. He's doing his own thing. That's my first guess. The second one is they have to combine forces and they have to fight a like something larger than themselves. But
You know, the thing is, like, okay, so I think this is going to lead to a Star Wars movie, right? Like the Ahsoka cast and everybody. So how are they going to get around the whole First Order stuff? Because this is still taking place before First Order. And so it seems like kind of a letdown if this gets defeated and you have this First Order come after it. You know what I mean?
Well, my guess is that it's going to have to lead into the sequels. They are not going to retcon it. I know that was like a rumor a long time ago, but they're not. There's no way that they would retcon it, especially with now they're doing the the movie that takes place 15 years after Rise of Skywalker and Rey's rebuilding the Jedi Order. So my guess is the First Order will, you know, after the everything with Thrawn ends, that is when the First Order will rise and like slowly rise. And like, and I could see at the end of the movie, like the First Order is taking kids from their homes, because that's how the First Order, you know, troopers came to be, is they were kidnapped at birth. So I could see some stuff like that happening, just kind of leading up to the sequels being like, hey, you know, here comes Force Awakens, get ready for it. But I hope we just don't rush into it. I hope we have more time with other shows to kind of build up to that.
Do you guys think it's possible that maybe the Night Sister magic had something to do with Palpatine's somehow Palpatine return type situation? Maybe they aided in a way, maybe to connect it to the sequels?
Could be, but would Thrawn want that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Thrawn loses and he's out of the picture and Night Sisters are left over maybe, and they're looking, they're leaderless and they're looking to maybe possibly resurrect Palpatine and help out with that. I don't know. Well,
certainly be more interesting than whatever the heck we got.
Right, right. And we kind of spoke about it in the pre-show, how Star Wars will do the thing of it'll confuse audiences, it'll make the audiences say, hey, look, that's kind of weird, it doesn't make sense, but then they kind of fill in that hole later on, years down the road, decades down the road. So if you think about it, the sequels did leave openings for story to be kind of finalized with Filoni and the creatives right now and in the future. So there is that route. All the stuff that people have made fun of, it might come back around and they might fill in those gaps.
Well, Filoni does a great job at creating those kind of stories. So, you know, if anyone's going to do it a great way, I think it's him. So I'm okay if he does it. But really, I want them to get away from First Order stuff the most that they can.
That's fair.
Something.
I mean, but you got, okay, so think about the First Order. You mentioned that you wanted to get away from it. But we never get explanation how it started. So do you think that Thrawn may be the person who starts the First Order? Because we never hear about him in the sequels.
We technically know how it ends for the Empire, for the Jakku battle.
Yeah, or the Jakku battle. Yeah, but we've never really...
So
are we going to get the Jakku battle?
No, because of the Battle of Jakku has already happened in the timeline. And you actually get to play that battle and the campaign for Star Wars Battlefront 2. And those events is what makes the New Republic actually exist. So no, after Return of the Jedi...
I'm wondering where we're going to go with this then.
Because
I mean, are they gonna consider that canon, though? Like, is Filoni really going to consider any of that kind of stuff canon?
Yes. That game is 100% canon.
Well, Filoni's gone back on like the novels and the comic books.
I know, but no offense to the books and everything, retconning a whole video game is a
big step.
Well,
he retconned his own show. So I mean, technically he can.
That's a good
I
point.
Wouldn't doubt it before a game, because he did
what show?
Ahsoka and Sabine's reunion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, true. Well,
he moved Ahsoka the White from here to there.
Right. But that was like a small thing. If you move the battle Jakku,
from here to there.
Well, then if you did that, the entire game would not be canon. And then that game would not be canon.
I think that would be fine.
I'm okay with
that. Live action is what rules Star Wars.
I know, but I'm telling you, if they did that, that would be a big mistake, in my opinion. I think that would be, it would honestly make no sense, because if you look at the Star Wars timeline books and everything, I'm just saying.
He's very passionate.
I am, because of that whole game. That whole campaign for the game is in almost every canon timeline book and everything that has existed since the game came out back in 2017. So
sacred lore should only be live action lore.
I'm just saying.
I know
that
I know.
Is like.
But then they're gonna. It's like, how did like Boba Fett's ship end up at Maz Kanata's palace? And I'm like, this is just. I get rid of it. It's fine. We can rewrite it. We make something new. And that's where I think they're going with it. Because
I'd be honest with you, I think that's what they're gonna do. They're gonna do like what you said. They're gonna try to fill in those holes. But you got to think about it. How much percentage of Star Wars fans are gamers? There's a percentage of Star Wars fans that are gamers. You got a percentage of them that are readers who just read books. So they got to try to cater that within that window. You know what I mean?
I know.
In my opinion, it's such a big event, and they're leading up to some big battle. Why not redo it?
True.
I don't think they. And honestly, I think they would stay away from Jakku and do. Because again, that is already a. Like, to me, it makes no sense to go back and redo a battle that you can just go and play. I would want to see something new. Going back to a battle that has already been established, especially in the Aftermath books as well. That would make the Aftermath novels not canon anymore.
They're already not canon.
Some of it is.
they changed the Cobb Vanth story a lot.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're taking bits and pieces. They're not completely redoing it, but they're taking little bits and pieces and trying to reorganize it.
I just don't think... Well, okay, so this person... So I need to clarify this. Is that the new Star Wars Battlefront 2 and all the new games that have come out since Disney has gotten the rights to Lucasfilm are canon. So Force Unleashed, all those other games... That came out before.
Wars.
Yeah. Yes. Especially like Star Wars are not canon. But Star Wars, but the new EA, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Jedi Survivor, Fallen Order, all those games are canon. And to me, it doesn't make sense to
take away
a big battle like that. Yes, they are.
Yeah, right. Until they're not.
Oh, okay.
So Starkiller, like Force Unleashed stuff was never canon. So the books since April 28th, 2014, books, novels, video games are canon until they're not.
Right.
Which we've seen evidence of that, which
I mean, we
talked about this at the beginning of our podcast, that it's going to be a huge undertaking if they can keep that all in order, and it's just not possible. So We're seeing kind of the product of
some
that.
Hearts are going to get broken.
Well, yeah, clearly mine. I would rather have
a new battle with Thrawn to be the definitive end and start of the First Order.
Yes.
And I would be fine with that.
Right.
I just don't think going backwards and retconning something to retcon.
Oh, it's don't get me wrong. It's an annoying process. But I'd rather have it than have, like, you know, it just, I mean, never see a battle with Ron going crazy with all these troopers and, like, my Avengers Endgame moment where, like, everyone comes in and fights that isn't the one in episode 9. So I'd be very happy with that.
Right.
I feel like this is becoming a group therapy session.
Pretty much is.
Listen, you're the one that is trying to unravel I think that's what that person said. Is like, listen, to me it would just make sense to put it into a new planet, have a new battle. It wouldn't make sense to go backwards and just be like, hey, you know what? Yeah. Let's tie in Force Awakens. Let's bring in this planet, this battle that we've already established. Plus,
can we focus?
No, yes. Yes. Actually, I will say that it also wouldn't make sense for them to do that because in Mandalorian, I believe episode 6, when Din Djarin goes undercover, they actually talk about an event that happened during the Star Wars Battlefront 2 campaign. So if they make that game not canon, then the Mandalorian is not canon.
You're talking about Operation Cinder.
Okay. Yes. So boom, they can't do it. What's up?
Here. I don't know what we have to do.
No, okay, Colin, I agree with you to a certain extent, Colin.
We haven't talked about Ahsoka in 10 minutes, and this is we're just got off of watching an episode of Ahsoka.
I'm
I think it's a big question.
And you know what brought this evil upon us? Somebody mentioned you know what. And ever since then, it's been downhill, off topic.
Well, but no, it ties. It's going to tie in one way or another.
I'm very curious to see what the future of what it means for Thrawn to be back. This incoming doom or battle that we can all feel that's coming.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I wonder what's going to come of it, and how we're going to see that on screen, I believe, is going to be the movie.
I think we got the title of the Filoni film right here.
Okay, so today, I'm going to say it before it ends. I say First Order is going to be started because of Thrawn. So today, that's my theory.
Okay. So I think for me personally, after tonight's episode, it feels like Thrawn is going to be that Thanos-type character now.
Yeah.
Because beforehand, Thrawn, from the books, everything that we got, like what we've been talking about that's canon, it seems like he's a different character than what he kind of is in Rebels and tonight's show. So it feels like he is looking to like overrule and rule over even the Night Sisters, which I thought those were going to be like the big bads, actually. And Thrawn was just going to be like all strategic, like he's always been, and kind of playing everyone.
Yeah, so he's going to have to slowly take over, right? He's not going to just try and come over and start a war, right? Because he knows they're not prepared for it. Yeah. So this is going to be something that he's going to have to take his time methodically creating and doing to prepare.
Yeah.
I don't think he's just going to come back and try and, you know, start a galactic war because he's not ready, you know? And he likes to calculate everything.
And he still has to study Ahsoka.
Yeah. And I think that's where Hayden will come back, because the Night Sisters will use some magic to make it look like he's back, but he's not. And then they'll, you know, have some type of lightsaber fight again. But this time it will happen in the real... I mean, because we are dealing with magic. And in Star Wars, magic is very unpredictable. So we are into a different galaxy. These Night Sisters, you know, have been on this planet for a while, so maybe they have magic that we've never really seen before, and maybe force projection might be that, kind of like what Luke did in Craig's favorite film. So it's
don't do it. You on track, don't do it.
So that is my guess on
Ray, step it up.
I'm just saying that is how, in my opinion, that Hayden could return, because there are reports that that episode was not the only appearance that Hayden was going to appear as Anakin. Plus, there's a whole line in one of the trailers that we hear, a totally different line that we haven't had in the show yet.
Yeah, and that was from Tales of the Jedi, right?
No.
The line recorded?
I don't believe so.
I thought it was from Tales when Ahsoka's being trained.
It's a very similar line. You're absolutely right, but there was a couple of words that weren't the same. I also thought the same thing, but then I also had to try and think of why they would bring that episode into it, especially with the episode that we just got. So I'm curious if that ends up being true, which I'm 100% fine with. How are they going to make that make sense? Like, of why on earth would they bring that scene in?
So, okay. So looking at the show and where we're going in the next couple of weeks, I think that Ahsoka is essentially going to have to bring Ezra and Sabine back. Right. Obviously, Thrawn's not going to allow them both back on the ship. So I think Ahsoka's going to have to rescue them.
Yep, Ezra's going to have to take another Purgle trip. across now, the whatever. Universe.
No, please.
This not time inside the Purgle.
Okay. You know, as far as Shin Hati and Balin, how would they get back? Ahsoka? Because Thrawn doesn't seem to even see any value in them.
Unfortunately, I don't think they're coming back, man. I think they're going to get stabbed in the back by Thrawn, the Night Sisters. I think the final duel is going to be back between Balin and Ahsoka somehow, some way.
I think Shin will survive. I don't think Balin will. I just have a sense that Shin will want revenge, and then she will just kind of play that card of I want revenge the entire time. But then she'll realize that the dark side isn't her thing, and then she'll turn to the light side of the movie. I don't know. That's something I could see them doing. That's what they've done in the past. That's what happened to Reva. So it's just, I could see something like that happening. I really would love more Balin. I love Ray Stevenson's character and the actor, and it's
big sad.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, this Facebook user says, talking to Colin here, just because it's in the trailer doesn't necessarily mean it has to make it into the show.
True.
It could hit the cutting room floor. It could be used as a red herring.
That's absolutely.
And then we could actually legally sue Star Wars because someone just sued Marvel for having red herrings in their trailers, and I think they won.
Not us as the Star Wars Stuff podcast. I cannot stress that enough. It would not be us. I'm just saying.
It would be Colin as an independent.
Legal representation.
No.
Colin would have to be our lawyer, so.
I mean, hey, I have watched Suits. I'm just kidding. But no, absolutely not. No. Anyways, back on track.
Look at that. We're so off track that Colin got us back on track. Man, we must be really off track.
Colin, man, I missed this. All right.
Well, you're mentioning Balin.
Yeah.
Did y'all catch the line where he tells that he trained her differently than...
Trained her better.
Yeah, he trained her better, but he didn't train
more.
Her.
I trained you more, right?
Is that what you said? So it kind of gets me. He didn't really train her in the Jedi way. I feel like he kind of trained her in the gray area, because not really Sith, but...
They really don't want to say gray Jedi, do they?
Yeah.
They really don't.
But it's basically kind of what he's trying to say, because yes, he's not saying, I didn't train her a Sith, but he's like, I trained you differently.
Yes. Pablo was very... very heavy on that. Like, who was it that I feel like someone said that Ahsoka was a gray Jedi or something at some point, kind of when she first came to live action, and then Pablo just made a huge tweet of saying, like, that's not canon anymore, stop saying it.
So, yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. also had that impassioned speech where he's like, yeah, I work with Dave personally, and he said there's no such thing, but it's like, you say it, but it exists.
What you're saying is true from a certain point of view.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh. Well, there you go. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I am very excited to see where where this is going. And I know when people go and watch Skeleton Crew, when it comes out, everyone is just gonna want those answers of, you know, what's happening to Thrawn? What's going on with that? And then we're just going to get essentially a Baby Max Rebo traveling in space with his crew. That's what the show is going to be. And people are just going to be upset that they're not getting Thrawn. And I hope the show doesn't get bashed because of that. But, you know,
yeah, we'll have to see. It's kind of got its work cut out for it now. Because, I mean, we got Thrawn, we got Anakin back. It's like, what are they going to do? It's got to be a revolutionary new type of show. I know it's the most expensive TV show of all time. After what show was it that they
Rings of Power.
Rings of Power, yeah.
That's Josh's favorite show.
I'm wondering what we're going to do with that, because we're here now. They're setting up so much. I'm wondering what's going to come from it, because those stormtroopers, amazing, loved them, Love the look at them. Love this Roman Empire feel.
What was that guy's name again? Like, not Echo.
Definitely not Echo.
What it was something kind of like that.
Let's look it up.
Yeah, that was such a bizarre look, right?
I was gonna say too. Did you notice it was kind of like their armor was cracked, but it was like put together with like gold, like and patches
and tape, wasn't it?
Yeah. Red tape. Yeah, it looked like red tape, kind of, but I guess it was, I don't know.
Galactic duct tape.
His name is Enoch, and that's the...
That's a character from the Bible, I believe.
Yes, the guy who walked with God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a stormtrooper, so...
He's a head stormtrooper.
Yeah.
That's another thing, too. Okay, so I know we're talking about the stormtroopers as well. The ship... of course, we last remember was crashed, or not crashing, but falling apart. But if we noticed, we didn't talk about it right now. Do you see how they did repairs? How it was missing engines? And then all these troopers, like, were all those troopers still on the ship when all this went down? Because we don't see that part of it. You know what I mean?
So. And it looks like they repaired the ship with, like, gold and stuff, which was really interesting.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I noticed that, too. But the trooper is definitely I did like the way they were just, it kind of gave you, put it into proper words, but just, it was different than when we saw the troopers when Vader was around. You know what I mean? Like when they did the Imperial March, they were a lot different.
Which was pretty cool. Did it look like they had tape on the armor to you guys too? The red?
Yeah, it's the red. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was more like sashes or fabric or something like from.
Yeah, probably like it was the same Night Sisters, right?
Yeah, so Enoch right here, I just Googled it. Enoch obeyed the Lord and taught the people with power. He taught about Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. Some people believed Enoch and wanted to follow the Lord. Enoch had authority from God to baptize. So he's going to start baptizing people.
I mean, I don't.
That's really
you have
cool.
to take your Night Sister bath.
Sure.
I've been really enjoying all of the different, like, especially the different costumes for this. This is becoming much more of a spiritual version of Star Wars. And I really
like
something completely new. Like, even in this planet, the armor on those, like, Raider guys, I was, like, looking at the armor, I'm like, that looks like a Viking thing. That looks like a samurai thing. I was like, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, the armors of the new stormtroopers look amazing. The ship being repaired, Night Sisters, it's all, and like talking about witchcraft. And I'm like, love it. Love all this kinds of stuff.
So we only have two episodes left, right?
Two, yep.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah, then the long wait until.
Oh, it'll be like another years.
It's going to feel like years, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
no.
Skeleton Crew, then Acolyte, right?
Right, but again, we were supposed to get Skeleton Crew in November. So now it's...
They got to stretch everything out now that there's a strike.
We'll have to see what happens. You know? But I'm still excited for what's coming. I don't know what's coming, but I'm excited.
Yeah, what if all the troopers are like Maroc and they're
just that's
nice
true.
Magic?
I would be so disappointed.
Yeah. So
Enoch's voice, his voice was different.
It sounded Sam Witwer. Like
it probably was.
Probably was.
Honestly,
yeah.
Probably was.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean Enoch's voice was different? Was he
it
on
was
the
very, very, very like Maroc, very Moroccan.
No, David, that was a bad joke. Oh boy. Okay. No, so there was kind of like an echo when like he talked.
Almost like Soundwave from Transformers.
Yeah. It wasn't like how the Night Sisters talk and they have an echo. It was like
the Bene Gesserit.
When you're wearing a helmet, but it was really enhanced.
Yeah.
And what did he say? Die of something? To Sabine?
Die quick, die well.
die well or something.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's what he said. He said, "Die well."
I'll see you in hell.
Yeah, going out into the wastelands.
I wanted to say this. Nobody's touched on this. The way Sabine talked to Thrawn was great. Like, she was not backing down at all.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, "Yeah, I've dealt with you before. You ain't all that." Yeah. So, yeah.
But it's interesting. She wasn't like anxious or afraid or anything like that. She was just
right.
Like,
yeah.
I don't care about you. I got one person. Show me where they are, bro. Get out of my face.
And I was totally expecting Sabine to kiss Ezra, and Ezra to be like taken aback. But
they have made it very clear that they're siblings.
By blood?
They threw in that line in that first episode of where Ezra is doing his message and was like, "I think of you as a sister." They threw that in specifically because they want to stay away from any romantic thing. That is the vibe that I'm getting. But clearly in the show, they were flirting so much. Yeah,
in the show, they were totally like,
I know, there. I know. I don't know what they're doing. And I'm just like, you know, Ezra deserves to be happy. You know, so does Sabine. So I'm just like, it's fine.
Ezra
whatever.
Doesn't deserve to be happy. Let's not, no.
Wait, who?
Space, I'm not, no.
Roll Tide.
Ezra, you get on my nerves all the time on Rebels. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
So didn't the Night Sisters seem to be threatened by Sabine to a certain extent? Didn't you get that?
They thought that they said that she smelt of Jedi.
Yeah.
But they said that she is definitely something that is worrying towards them. Yeah. Not just because she's Jedi.
Yeah.
But something else.
Ahsoka. They knew Ahsoka was coming.
But because the thing that I liked was when she's like, "I smell Jedi," Baylan looks back at Shin like, Are we going to get in trouble or something bad to happen to us? And then they go for her. And it was cool because she's like making the line of like how powerful she's going to like be or how powerful.
That's what I took from it.
Has potential to be. And right, I feel like Baylan was actually taken back there for a second, thinking it was completely him who is far more powerful in this circumstance. So I was like, interesting. I really like that. Subtle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Star Wars.
It's back for two more weeks.
So what would each of you guys rate this episode on a scale of 1 to 10?
This is my favorite episode of the season. I would probably give it a 9.
I knew this was going to be the episode too for like Josh, just because of I feel like Josh likes the very interesting take on Star Wars and things that we haven't seen before. And I think that's why you really enjoy Jedi Survivor and you know, of those type of stories, because it's not your traditional Star Wars. It's Star Wars, but it's Star Wars in a different way.
But also people feel the same way. Every new movie that comes out that isn't a remake and is something original, people love. This is something I can see that has the potential to be new, original, and away from whatever the Skywalker stuff is, and I'm very happy with that.
I'm giving it a 8 out of 10. I also want to point out the fact that to me this was kind of a tease of what the Dawn of the Jedi film could be, because to me, even though we saw stormtroopers and everything, it felt like a very different age of Star Wars. It felt not as traditional as we're used to. I was so glad to see stormtroopers because we haven't seen stormtroopers at all this season. But at the same time, they weren't stormtroopers, if that makes sense. So I'm excited to kind of get into that new era, but at the same time, still feel that familiar stuff. I loved last week's episode, but this was nice to get into the new stuff. It was fantastic. Craig?
I give it a 9.
Okay.
I love the way it felt, the intensity of it. It was building on something. It was fun. It was interesting new creatures, and obviously revealing Thrawn was great. Seeing Ezra, the Night Sisters, it was great. You know, it's hard to say it's going to be like one of those 10 level, because like 10 is like Luke coming in season two finale. Like, that's a 10 for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like I reserve the 10s for Empire Strikes Back, and you know what I mean? But I'll say it's a 9. I really enjoyed it. And the whole time I watched it, I thought this is a great episode.
Nice.
Yeah. Right?
I like the wolf rat.
Yes.
Yeah. I was cracking up with the wolf rat. I thought that was hilarious.
I'm going to still go with the 10. The only reason why I go with the 10, like I said, I look at more detail into certain stuff. So like when Balin talks about where he's currently at, he heard about it in the stories. So it was like fairy tales. So to me, I feel there's going to be more behind that. And we're going to get more story because how many more fairy tales did they tell? Because if you, at the very beginning, he used to tell stories to the Jedi. Yu Hang would tell them. But in reality, are they all stories? Are they actually all true stories that were just told down from the past? So it leaves so much open to make your mind curious of what else we have to look forward to. Mm-hmm. But just overall, everything that happened, new planet, the fight scene with Sabine, I liked it all. But I just liked that it opened my mind to think of things that could come. You know what I mean?
I forgot about that Sabine fight scene. That was a great scene.
But yeah, that's my pick.
Yeah, I give it a 9. To touch on that Sabine fight scene, it's kind of like when you're a little kid and you're thinking about, oh, you go on an adventure in the Star Wars universe and you have a lightsaber that you can use. Maybe you're not necessarily a Jedi. We saw that scene tonight where she got ambushed. She used her blasters. We all love that from the original trilogy if you're from a certain age. But you also have a lightsaber to use. And she did that. We got to see that in live action.
Can I tell you what I thought was going to happen? I thought Ezra was going to come and make that Krayt dragon sound to rescue her. I thought he was going to come help her.
Wow. Yeah, that would have been very cyclic there. But yeah, everything from that to Thrawn's live action debut, the new planet like we talked about, the new look of hyperspace, the constant references to the Star Whales. I guess we're going to call them that from now on. The Star Whale bone graveyard as the rings of Palidia. That was really cool. It felt like they spent a lot of money on this episode. The Howlers, I love those creatures. I love the Wargs from the Two Towers. This is essentially them.
Yeah.
And characters riding creatures is a stalwart of Star Wars. So we got that. Did we get a chasm, though, at any point? I guess World Between Worlds, I guess it counts there. But yeah, it's always people riding creatures, chasms, and someone always say, I've got something about this.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire.
And Jason Syndulla basically said that last episode. Yeah, it's cool. The new look stormtroopers, I'm fine with. Seeing Thrawn Star Destroyer back with the insignia at the bottom. I think it was a great episode, and I can't wait to see more. And everything that Josh touched on, the fact that we're in a new kind of era. It feels like we're stepping into a new phase of Star Wars. So we're going to get new stuff. And we don't have to retcon anything necessarily. Let's just say all these characters were over here at that time when all the other stuff happens. And it works. It totally works. And that just proves that Star Wars is... You can't put a ceiling on what Star Wars can give us for the future because you can travel to distant worlds and now galaxies. I mean, who's to say we couldn't travel to different universes? I mean, that's on the table, I think. Maybe in the far-off future, but... I mean, the possibilities, guys, the possibilities. This is what this episode has given us and kind of sent the idea of Star Wars into that trajectory. And I think we all love it. We all approve. And Filoni did it again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Can't wait to see what happens next week.
Exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Any predictions for next week?
And somehow rescues them. I mean, it seems like a barren planet. How much time are they going to really spend there unless they're trying to find whatever this source of power that Balin thinks is there.
They said 3 days.
Yeah. So I think my guess is like the last episode will, I mean, at the end of this next episode, Thrawn will escape the planet and then they'll jump into hyperspace kind of back where, you know, of where they were when they first jumped, or they might go somewhere different. Thrawn might be bold and like try and run, or he might go after Coruscant. You know, I have no idea why, but just another battle in Coruscant would be very, very cool to see.
Except so do you guys feel after this, there's going to be a definite season two, or do you think we're going to lead into the Filoni movie after this season?
I think we're so leading. Movie.
Mm-hmm. Just because of the writer's strike and actor's strike.
Season. Because if they have another season, Dave can really show how Thrawn slowly operates and creates what he's trying to do. If it goes right into a movie, he won't really get to delve into that.
Like, I would love for them to do that. I just don't think that they are going to.
Or maybe not even call it Ahsoka and just call it Thrawn.
That would be cool to kind of continue off of his story from the books, and we see his planet and the Chiss and all of that. And then that could, you know,
that's a lot of blue, man.
I don't care. That would be pretty cool. And then that would hype up the big Star Wars Avengers movie, which that movie has got to be 3 hours, in my opinion. Like, there's much ground that they have to cover.
If it's 3 hours, it's going to be like they listen to the fans once again.
Yeah,
they did it.
Luke, Han, Leia, Max Rebo, all of them just lining up. You know, it's going to be fantastic.
If it was up to Colin, Max Rebo would be the co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon.
You're damn right. Not wrong, Craig. Oh, man.
All right, everyone.
So I guess soon we'll see Thrawn taking over the new, old, new empire. Is that how it is? Is it the new, old, new empire? Is that what it's called?
He's the heir to the empire.
But... But like he's the heir to the new old empire. Heir to
the new old new empire.
That would be
the first
Order empire that's coming.
I'm Grand Admiral Thrawn of the new old empire.
It's still the same empire. It's just they have different fringes throughout the galaxy. Yeah. And I'm really curious to seeing on if he's going to meet everyone or the people that Moff Gideon was talking to in that episode of The Mandalorian season 3.
I think he would, just because of, again, they had the time, the sequels. So they have to have General Hux's dad there, like in some way and stuff like that.
Because they didn't say that was the First Order. They just said long live the Empire. But we do know that they go on to create the First Order. So yeah, I'm interested in seeing where this goes.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, great episode. He really enjoyed it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well. Oh, maybe.
All right. Podcast is falling apart. For Colin, Craig Cove, Josh, Retro Raid, my name's David. May the Force be with you.
Always.